Thanks very much, Kim Gordon. It is the Wintrust Business Lunch here on 720 WGNR. Kim, I have to start with a news story. Did you say that the city council just approved the new police superintendent by a unanimous vote?
Yes, it was unanimous, 50 to zip.
Okay. So it looks
it's
as if
starting out positive.
Well, that's true. I guess everyone likes him, or there's not really much debate anymore either.
Well, I think yesterday on the Finance Committee, there was one dissenting vote, and that was Patrick Daley Thompson, but right. He actually, during the vote today, he did get up and wish Eddie Johnson well. So
well, that's good. As long as we're all on the same page.
We all seem to be on the same page to begin with.
A big start to the show. In fact, the first half hour, Howard Tolman is here, the CEO of 1871. Howard, welcome to the Business Lunch.
I'm happy to be here.
I heard somewhere that you were a magician as a kid.
I was.
Is that right? You
absolutely.
Think you're still a magician, kind of?
I do have, there was an auction last week of Houdini's, some props and posters and things from Houdini's collection and things like that.
Yeah.
So I actually continue from time to time to buy things, but not that I practice these days.
Well,
but
must feel like you make magic once in a while at 1871.
Well, we think it's a magical place. I mean, it's been really remarkable how it's grown. It started in May of 2012 with maybe 60 companies and 50,000 square feet, and now it's three times the size, and we have more than 400 companies, and like 20,000 people a month come there. And it is fun. It is wild to see new businesses come into existence, because I like to say the ignorance, you know, curve is a competitive advantage. If you don't know what you can't do, don't know what you're not supposed to be able to do, then you set out to do pretty much anything.
Ignorance is bliss.
Exactly.
1871, I was telling this to you a little off the air, and maybe I'm just speaking for myself, but sometimes you hear a phrase, a word, so often that you almost, it becomes such a part of your vocabulary that you stop remembering what it means
or
understanding exactly what it is. So for those of us who hear 1871, give us a little primer. What's going on there?
Well, so first of all, I have to go back and say what those numbers mean. So that was the year of the Chicago Fire.
Mm-hmm.
And it was named, 1871 was named that because following the fire, half the city was rebuilt. And frankly, it was a tremendous renaissance, and it really put Chicago on the world map. We think technology represents that kind of opportunity for the city again. So we see it as not the Ferris wheel, not skyscrapers, but new businesses and new technology. So that's where the name came from. What it is it's a factory for startups. Our job is to build businesses that create jobs for the city and the state. End of story. We're a nonprofit. We don't take an interest in the companies, although at 1871 we have the universities and venture funds and a million different opportunities there and resources. So our goal is to make the city better and the economy broader.
Well, when I was in school, in grade school at the time, when the library started becoming known as the Learning Center.
Yeah.
And it seems like maybe 1871 is kind of a learning center for...
We spend about $1 million a year on education. We have seven schools of our own that teach coding and design and all kinds of things like that. And then we have these partnerships with all the universities as well.
Right.
In addition, we have almost 900 volunteers. These are people from every industry who come in and work with our companies. This year they'll do more than 7,000 hours of one-on-one meetings with the companies. Then we have about 350 workshops this year, and we'll do almost 1,000 events. One of the exciting things tomorrow, Steve Case from AOL fame will be at 1871. He's got a new book. He's a friend of mine, has been a friend forever. But just in the last week, we've had Andy Cunningham, who is Steve Jobs's handler when she was 25, was there for Pixar, was there for all the Apple good times. The night before, Wharton Prof. Adam Grant, who, you know, amazing guy. So.
I live off you, Howard, because those people come to town and then I have
exactly.
them on the show. So
exactly.
Adam and Steve Case were both on the show last week.
Yeah.
What do you make of Steve Case's view of this third wave of the Internet?
I think that we're moving from, you know, when the web started or when the Internet started, you know, it was the first time that production, you know, individuals could create things and then on the web send them and share them and then, you know, publish them. And now I think we're seeing that that's moving to everyday objects.
Right.
So intelligent objects, you know, we call this smart reach. You know, it's, we got this phone, it's attached to us now, it's like a second brain, and it's what do I need, when do I need it, wherever I am, without asking. And that's what the future looks like.
All right, so let's go back to 1871. I've got an idea, I want to form a company or create something.
Right.
I knock on your door.
Right.
And sort of pay a subscription or something?
No,
or
so first of all, we have to decide if you have a real business. So our test for that is pretty simple. If you're a dating site for pets, you probably don't get in.
That could make a lot of money.
It could, but, you know, I think dogs and cats should have a social life, but not on my dime, right? So basically our focus is, can you save me time? Can you save me money? Can you make me more productive? Can you make me help make me better decisions? It's pretty much business to business kind of things, because that's our view, is that's what we're building companies like that.
You said that you consider yourself in a way a little bit like a pediatrician.
Yeah, exactly.
You see these young business people come in, right?
Yeah. And the pediatrician, concept is, if you've seen 100 of them, pattern recognition, the ability to help them not make the same mistakes, the ability to make introductions to the people they're trying desperately to get in front of.
So what do you see in them that, as a pediatrician, that is a healthy sign? What do you see in them that says, oh, this is going to work?
Well, first of all, if it's a pure idea, again, we probably don't take it in. You got to have a little bit more. You got to have a part of a team. You got to have some traction. You got to have maybe some code. You might have to have a prototype. It's not just a place to come and sort of noodle on your ideas. But once we've sort of vetted the business idea, you know, we look for passion, we look for perseverance, we look for people that want to do hard work, and people who are prepared. You know, it's great to say, I want to be a rocket scientist, but if you don't have any background, and this is the trap, this is sort of, I'm going to drop out of college and go do something. You know, frankly, we've seen a few, but, you know, we haven't seen, like, zillions of people. And it turns out college is a pretty good predicate for being prepared.
Suppose it helps, but then we just started by talking about the fact that the whole ignorance is bliss a little bit, right?
Yeah.
If you think that it's all within your reach, so you don't want to discourage people sometimes.
I agree, but you want them to be realistic. You know, in Chicago, we had the Board of Trade, and, you know, many, many years ago, I used to always say, they never tell you about the 99 guys who busted out. It's just the one runner who's now making $1 million bucks.
That's Howard Tolman. He's the CEO of 1871. We're going to take a quick break. 1222, you're listening to The Business Lunch here on 720 WGN. Scott Kleinberg writes about social media for the Chicago Tribune. He is just around the corner. And Guard Llama is a startup in Chicago. We'll talk to them as well. Right now, Howard Tolman, who has quite a lot of knowledge about startups in the city. He's the CEO of 1871. You know, I want to ask you a couple of things that are going on, but has there been a great idea that you've seen die at 1871 that for one reason or another couldn't happen?
Not a great idea, but a lot of ideas. You know, we sort of every quarter sit down with a few companies and tell them their babies are ugly, which is a hard conversation.
Yeah, it's going to be hard to do, right?
Yeah, but you know what's great is that it's like Hotel California, because this is how they want to spend their life, so they don't leave. They look around. They attach themselves to a company with more traction or growing or better technology. We have 2 full-time recruiters, and all they do is move people around.
Yeah, and those are the people who are there. I know you're interested in bringing people in, and you do these campus events, right? You just had
campus 1871. So we just had Campus 1871, which was the 6 colleges we work with sent us 200 kids for a hackathon over the weekend with hackers and hipsters and hustlers, you know, and mixed them up. So the teams were kids from all the different schools, and they came up with some great ideas and some great products and things, and it was a really good experience for them. And it's a great way of putting Chicago on their radar for when they graduate.
So we're talking about young people moving up.
That's
and coming,
one group for sure.
Right.
Yeah.
But you must also have a desire to have the older people moving
Yeah, so we have four buckets at 1871. We have young people who are starting new businesses. We have career changers who have done something for a long time. We have serial entrepreneurs who are smart enough to say, I'm not going to go rent a bunch of new offices until I know if this idea works. Mm-hmm. And then the last group are people with domain expertise but no technology, and we literally marry them to young technologists so they can create new businesses together.
Tell me about the Venture Capital Summit, which I know is coming up.
So we have Chicago, you know, is next week. We'll have the Venture Capital Summit. We have a couple hundred VC firms coming from all over the country to have them introduced to what's going on in Chicago. Startups, existing companies, some breakout companies, what's going on with our schools, what's going on with some of the success stories here. So that'll be really exciting, and this is the second or third year of it, actually the second year, I guess. And last year was pretty interesting. This year, I think, will be even more robust.
This is a citywide thing in 1871?
Citywide. Yeah. Citywide, yeah. World Business Chicago, you know, all of these, Chicago Next, all of these organizations coming together to put that on.
How are we doing as a city? I mean, I know that 1871 is big and fostering this idea. Yeah. Does the city do well to foster technology?
We're doing pretty well. You know, 1871 is number one in North America and number four in the world in terms of these kinds of ecosystems, which is really more than just an incubator. It's really bringing together everybody. Chicago is pretty strong. I mean, we're, you know, we've created in this sort of in the tech zone, if you think of the Mart and, you know, a few of the areas around the Mart, the tech triangle. I think we have in the Mart alone about 11,000 jobs. I think in the tech triangle, since the mayor started, maybe 20,000 new jobs, all technology jobs.
I'm fascinated by the geography of it and the sort of physical creation of it and if that's necessary.
Well, physical, for sure, you need proximity. You can't distribute this to 40 different places because you'll never have critical mass.
But by business, we're spread around the world now.
Our businesses are using the web. I mean, the truth is that place doesn't matter for a business, but a place where you can mix it up and be inspired and sort of encouraged and educated by thousands of people going through similar experiences is amazing. The lateral learning is off the charts.
Chicago, you know, it's all about impression too, right? And Chicago is struggling with its relationship with the rest of the country, the way the country and some of the world views it. Does that have an impact on you, or do you help that?
I think we're a real plus. I think that people come here, they're trying to figure out the secret sauce. They want to find out why innovation and entrepreneurship is exploding and technology is exploding in Chicago. Last year, we had $7 billion worth of exits, you know, and that money stays here. Those jobs stay here. We've graduated about 120 companies. They've raised about $150 million from all over the country. That's not simply money that was here already. Right. So it's a magnet, it's an attraction, and it's a good story.
Howard Tolman, the CEO of 1871. Great to meet you. I hope you'll come back.
Yeah, let me just say that Guard Llama is one of our favorite companies
as well. So yeah, well, they're coming in a little bit later, we'll talk to them, and I'm sure they'll be happy to hear that.
Great.
Nice to see you.
Thank you.
You're listening to The Business Lunch on 720 WGN. Start spreading the news. Scott Kleinberg is in the studio, who writes about social media for the Chicago Tribune. And, that's a Frank Sinatra song about an altogether different city. Congratulations, my friend.
Thank you very much, Steve. I appreciate that.
You know, I go home most Wednesdays or Fridays and talk to my wife about the things that I talk to Scott Kleinberg about, like how he keeps his Apple bags and pulls out his iPod on the anniversary. And, you announced this week that you are moving to New York City to take on a new gig.
I am.
What's the job?
It is the Director of Social Media and Digital Engagement in the New York City Mayor's Office.
That's a big job, my friend.
It is a big job. It's a different kind of job for me.
Okay, so did you have kind of a feeling when you just heard that song?
I've been kind of playing that kind of in my head a lot.
Because, I mean, aside from a lot of people move to New York City for a job, you're going to be representing New York City.
Yeah.
You're going to be tweeting on behalf of New York City.
Yeah. It's still shocking to me. Yeah. It's still sinking in.
So when we read a tweet in a few months from Mayor Bill de Blasio, will it be I don't want to say it'll be written by you, but in many cases, it probably will be written by you.
It's likely, or someone on the team who is doing it. So, yeah.
And that's
likely.
A big, just this weekend, the Republican Party in Colorado got in trouble for their hashtag Never Trump.
Yep,
you've got to be careful.
Yeah.
And de Blasio's in a bit of a pickle right now with the joke he made.
Yes, he is.
Don't do that to him.
No. And that's one of the things I keep thinking about, so much experience over these years, with learning about what to do, what not to do, using social media since the beginning. It's like so many examples I can bring back and say, look, this is just don't do this kind of thing.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And so you're going home.
Yeah. Born in Brooklyn, lived there till I was almost six, grew up on the Jersey Shore, and now
so you're just
full circle.
Like, just like Bernie Sanders, born in Brooklyn and moved out for a while.
Yeah.
And now you're going to come back and take their money.
Yep.
Well, look, we'll talk because you're going to be here a few more times, and I don't want to eat up all our time. But I selfishly I'm sorry to see you go, but I couldn't be happier for you.
I appreciate that so much. Thank you.
I just think it's such a wonderful opportunity.
Thank you, and thank you for having me on here because I love doing this, and I'll miss this a lot.
I mean, pretty much, don't you think that you're bi-weekly appearances here sealed the deal because de Blasio listens.
I'm sure that had a lot to do with it, yes.
And or maybe it's not him. Maybe it's some guy who's got your job now because someone keeps tweeting me in the name of Bill de Blasio. So. All right, let's talk about Facebook because there's a lot going on all the time.
Yep.
A lot about Messenger. And this is one of those ones you wrote about that I'm not sure I understand again.
Yeah. So this secret message thing has been going around for a long time. There used to be a separate mailbox on Facebook that from people who weren't your friends. They got rid of that.
Okay, we've talked about that.
We talked about that. They got rid of that and they started filtering them in a smart way to basically say, you're not going to see anything from anybody that you don't know. We'll get rid of the junk. You concentrate on the one box, which makes perfect sense. But there is a secret box that's really hidden called filtered request. It's kind of the other inbox, a little bit different, but you might actually find things in there that have been filtered, just like any junk mail filter, things that get in there that really shouldn't be in there.
Okay. So I thought they had addressed that.
But people have found this filtered request spot. It wasn't meant to be. I don't think it was meant to be found. It's deep in the settings. It's not really where it's necessarily supposed to be.
Okay.
And they're telling you, don't worry about this. We've got it covered. So now with this, everybody's talking about it because it's like, oh, there actually is a message in here from somebody that I wanted. And in the other inbox, it used to be 100, 200 messages that people just didn't know were there. They were actually important. This might be 2, 3, 4. I found 3 of them that I wish I had known about. So it's like, it's really easy to find it. It's just, you have to know where to go.
So it sounds like they may have addressed something, but the old problem still exists, and now there's a new way to figure it out.
Exactly. It's better than it was, but just the fact that there are messages that people say, hey, why are you deciding for me whether or not I see this? They're trying to be helpful, and they're not necessarily helpful.
How do people find them?
So if you're using your phone, it's really simple. So you use the Facebook Messenger app versus the regular Facebook app. You look for the gear icon in the top right corner, which is how you do your settings. You select people. And then you tap on message request. And when you do that, you see a little thing that says see filtered request. And it's very, very intuitive when you start looking at it. And as soon as you do that, you'll see a long list. It's most likely going to be spam. But as you look through it, you may see something from a friend or a name that you know.
It might be an invitation to your 20th high school reunion because
it may be something exactly
you weren't
like that.
Their friend or something
it
like that.
It could be very well something like that, yes.
Okay, so Messenger is something that we talk about a lot. I don't talk too much about WhatsApp. I'm not sure I'm completely up to speed on that. But
yeah, WhatsApp is just more – it's used more internationally than it is here. But it's basically Facebook Messenger for people not in the States, although you can certainly use WhatsApp, and I know a lot of people that do. I personally don't.
Oh, that makes sense, because I think at the time of Brussels, they were talking about WhatsApp quite a bit.
Yes.
And so those Messenger and WhatsApp now have surpassed just plain old text messages for volume?
Yeah, it's absolutely crazy. If you combine those two apps together, they're sending 60 billion, with a B, messages a day compared to 20 billion text messages, regular SMS messages. So 3 times as many.
That's pretty – well, why would that be? So – let me surmise.
Yep.
When I get a text message, my phone's always on. A text message always comes to me.
Yep.
I guess essentially now Messenger, if I've got the app, and I sort of got the app just like I got a membership to AARP. This was delivered to me one day.
Yeah.
You know, now everyone has those apps, so people are just using that as an alternative way to talk.
They're using it as an alternative way. It really comes down to what you're comfortable using. I actually wrote a column on this at one point. There's no point in time that I can see where we're ever going to decide on one app, because some people have used text all their life and they're going to continue using it. Some people still use old instant messengers, you know. Right. Then there's Facebook, then there's everything else. If you're friends with someone on Facebook, you're much more likely to use the Facebook ecosystem. If you don't interact with someone on Facebook, you're more likely to use text.
It's funny because the more organized we are, the more disorganized in many ways. I mean,
it really is true.
With my little travel business, I've got a SteveBertrandTravel.com email. I've got a Steve Bertrand on Books email that I used at first.
Okay.
So now I use Gmail, I should say. So now I use both of those intermittently. Then I've got my work email, my personal email, and depending on convenience, I could be using any of them for one business. And so now all these messages are scattered around.
Yep, and it really does get confusing. And there are people that ask me all the time, it's like, can I contact you in this one place? It's like, you can contact me here, but I'm always going to have all these windows open because there's just no way for me to ever get someone to narrow it down to one place.
Right. Well, before you leave town, I want you to explain for me the web version of Outlook.
The web version of Outlook. Okay.
Because I have a hard time with that. Are you an expert on that?
I don't know that I'm an expert on it. I use it sometimes, but only usually when the Outlook app goes down. But it's not...
It's no fun.
It's no fun, and what I find is it doesn't sync with the app. So if you delete one, you don't see it delete in the other.
The
it's
web
weird.
Version, I have the hardest time with contacts. I don't get it. It doesn't... I can't manipulate it. But that's really not why you're here. This is my own personal problem.
But if I can help, I will.
You've got 10 days to fix it. One more Zuckerberg thing then. You know, Google Glass was this big thing. Last week we talked about contact lenses that act sort of as
Samsung's
that.
Contact.
Now,
yep.
Is Zuckerberg and Facebook working on something similar?
Zuckerberg wants to have a virtual reality is all this, you know, big rage right now. He wants to have a virtual reality type pair of glasses. So, like Google Glass did, but sleeker and more powerful and doing more things. And, you know, he's talking 10 years from now. He says that this is not tomorrow. But there are pictures out there, and, you know, it looks like an actual pair of glasses, whereas Google Glass, you knew you were wearing Google Glass. It was just so weird.
Are you betting on him?
So, you know, I think if anybody can do it, I think that that's something that can be done. It's just the thought of walking around and seeing Facebook in my eyes as I'm talking to you or something. I mean, it would be amazing to be able to just look up with my eye and find the news story and talk to you like that, but I'm used to a screen doing that.
I wonder, you know, if there will be a day when we walk around and don't see the world we're living in. When we see both.
Yeah, virtual reality, people will be able to take a vacation here. I'll show you what it looks like, and you can, it's amazing.
That's New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio. Thank you very much. Scott Kleinberg writes about social media for the Chicago Tribune. Great to see you.
Great to see you, Steve.
And we'll
Thanks
see you
so
on
much.
Friday.
Yep, sounds great.
Thank you very much, Orion Samuelson, Kim Gordon, and Dolly McCarthy. Steve Bertrand here on the Wintrust Business Lunch. It is 12:52, and started the program with a nice talk with Howard Tolman, the CEO of 1871. And now we're going to say hello to one of his favorite people, Joe Parisi, who is the CEO of Guard Llama. Joe, welcome to the Business Lunch.
Oh, thanks for having me.
No kidding. I was teasing that you were coming up later, and the interview was basically over, and he ran back to the microphone and goes, look, the Guard Llama is one of our favorite companies. These are some of our favorite people.
Well, I really appreciate that from Howard.
It makes you feel pretty good, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, there's a lot of great companies in this city. So,
I talked to him about it, and I want to talk about Guard Llama specifically, but tell me about the process of going through 1871 and the impact that it made on what you do.
It's kind of a necessity, I would say, you know, so I would start with that. I mean, if you're looking to get into the tech space, or even the startup space generally, I don't know how you would get it going without an incubator like 1871.
What did you bring to it? You had the idea when you got there?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, you know, I'm a young entrepreneur, so, I mean, I have a CPA, I've studied accounting, I have like a general idea about, or I had a general idea about, you know, how at least money flew in and out of a company, but I had no idea.
On paper.
Yeah. Yeah, and college is pretty much a waste of time, so. if you decide, a lot of it is just saying, I'm going to build something, and then getting up one day, leaving your job, and realizing that whatever's out there for you is going to be fine.
Do you consider yourself a serial entrepreneur?
I believe I will be.
Yeah.
I don't think, you know, you see two types of entrepreneurs kind of in the space. You see some people who have like their one great idea and they hold on to it with everything they have. And then you see the others who know that there's always something else, right? There's always another problem to solve. Like the world will never run out of problems.
Well, so there are people who want to perfect the personal security, and there are people who enjoy the game of finding something to perfect personal security and then moving on, right? I mean, it's just, it's two different, it's sort of two different ball games.
Yeah.
That makes sense?
Yeah.
I mean, someone wants to be the perfect gardener. Someone else wants to flip gardens.
Yeah.
In a way, or, you know, wants to move on to the next garden.
I've thought
those
about
are,
that.
Those are really tortured metaphors, but.
Yeah. I've thought about that in terms of, you know, it's interesting because you start to gain all this domain experience, right? Like now that I know security, would it.
Right.
But then, of course, maybe the next problem that I see is just in that space because I know more about it.
Well, we're way ahead of ourselves because I want to talk about Guard Llama, too.
Of course.
Tell me what this company is, what this does.
So we built a personal emergency response system. So what it means is all of our users get a hardware device. It's separate from their cell phone. If they get in trouble, they don't have to go through the process of finding their phone, unlocking it, dialing for help, explaining the nature of their emergency. They just tap this button. The remote vibrates in their hand to let them know that the alert works. And then from there, the police get your exact location and physical profile.
Forgive me, but it's an I've-fallen-and-I-can't-get-up sort of security device.
I guess it's a spinoff of that, right?
Yeah. No, I mean, really. So you're in a mall parking lot or something like that. You find yourself in trouble. This is on your keychain, presumably?
Yeah, we sell to a lot of – it's been interesting because, you know, the I've-fallen-and-I-can't-get-up solutions have been around for a while, and it's pretty saturated, right? CVS has one. Lowe's, but they may as well have one, right? And and so we have a solution that's carried by college women, carried by, you know.
And that's what I meant was the immediacy of it and the fact that when you're in trouble, you press that button.
Absolutely.
This came out of the problem, the shooting at NIU?
It wasn't necessarily. I was there for the shooting, but, you know, it's great for active shooters if the faculty have it because the police can then know exactly what part of the campus the shooter's in without having to wait. Because when you have active shooter, it's like every second matters, right? I mean, someone has to get out of that room, grab their phone, and dial for help in order for anyone to be on the way.
God forbid it's ever used that way. So basically, we're talking about more individual situations.
But for so the actual start of it was there was a woman that was at my school. She was a freshman student. She went out in the middle of the day. And she was basically raped and murdered in the middle of the day.
Yeah, I know the story. Okay.
Yeah. And so then for her, they found her with her cell phone, right? And so it was always, it's a strange problem, right? Because most people will tell you, hey, I'm going to grab my phone. I'm going to dial for help if I'm in trouble. It didn't work for her.
And she wouldn't have had time.
Yeah.
But she would have had time to hit a button.
Correct.
Guard Llama is the company. You're up and moving. How's business?
Business is good.
Yeah?
Yeah, the Q1's been awesome for us. I just released the quarterly report for all my investors. I think everyone's going to be really excited. You know, sales are consistent, moving, we're cash flow positive.
You're hitting goals.
Yeah. So we're probably one of the few companies right now, one of the few startups that's making money in Chicago. Yeah.
Well, you never said that. That was the kiss of death right
there.
Yeah,
I know. Now I'm going to lose everything. Yeah.
Joe Parisi, check it out. How do people find out more about Guard Llama?
So if you're interested, you can actually call 877-958-7705. And if you call that number, you'll get a discount on the product too, since you're coming from WGN. Or you can also visit the website, which is the Guard, G-U-A-R-D, Llama, L-L-A-M-A.com, /WGN.
10 seconds. I'm late, but you got to tell me why it's called Guard Llama.
Guard llamas are very popular in anywhere but Chicago, actually. So
actual llama who guards or that guards.
They're more effective than guard dogs. They don't have to be trained. Oh, they're more effective than guard dogs, and they're the size of a horse, right? So it's definitely effective.
Good luck to you, Joe. Great to see you.
Yeah, thank you so much.
You're listening to The Business Lunch on 720 WGN.